Dupre's Wintry Works Not Understood, written by Black Cat and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship John Antilles / Jaster Mareel. Tagged, there was only one bed, snowed in, huddling for warmth, humor, enemies to lovers. The armor is just making Jaster colder. John glances at the windows, tightly closed against the howling winds, the snowstorm that caught them and left them separated from Faye, from the Mandalorian squad that accompanied Jaster. It's tempting, for a moment, to go back out into the weather, to look for Faye, because John has no idea how to treat the beginnings of hypothermia, but by the time he gets back, it could be too late. Even if he did find Faye in this mess. There's no saying that a Mandalorian would trust John enough to let him go, either. Jedi and Mandalorians have never had an easy relationship, and the attempt to kill John and Faye just hours ago is more than proof enough of that. Grimacing, John turns, stripping off his soaked outer robe. Jaster is poking at the fire, trying to get it started with the remnants of the half-crumbled pellets they managed to scrounge out of one of the cupboards. It's a weak blaze, but at least it's something. The temperature is still dropping, and nights on this planet last for at least a week. They're going to need all the help they can get. "You should take your armor off," John says, quiet. Jaster flicks him a glance, then snorts, rising to his feet. "In most cases, I would take that as a threat, Jedi," he says, and his fingers are clumsy on the buckles. "You're lucky these are unusual circumstances." John doesn't answer. They are unusual, though. He and Faye are here to put a stop to a war, and the Mandalorians were hired to continue it, so they're something like enemies. Helping someone who wants to force the fighting to continue isn't something John would normally do, but the Force leads people to strange places, sometimes, and nothing about this moment feels threatening, despite who and what Jaster is. "Hells," Jaster mutters, setting the last of his armor aside. His eyes are on the window, expression a deep grimace. "This blasted planet is worse than Hoth." It's almost as bad as Ilum, particularly with how long the night will last, and John lets out a rueful breath in agreement. He drapes his cloak over a chair in front of the fire, then drags his boots off and leaves them there as well. It's cold, but wet clothes will just make it colder, and they only have so much fuel. Hopefully, the blizzard will pass soon, but until then, they need to do whatever they can to conserve heat. "You're on the verge of hypothermia," he says quietly, and Jaster breathes out, scraping a hand through his short, dark hair. "Thank you, Master Jedi, for that stunningly useful observation," he says sardonically. "The heat in my armor failed when the rest of our equipment did. One more reason to hate this planet." John isn't precisely going to argue. He hesitates, glancing at the single bed in the cabin and the pile of blankets left, and weighs his words for a moment. If the Mandalore dies in a Jedi's company, it will cause problems in the Republic. Jaster raises a brow. "So you know who I am," he says, faintly amused, though his gaze is cautious. "I had wondered, there seemed to be a distinct lack of bowing and scraping going on when you were trying to split my blaster in half." John doesn't roll his eyes, but only because he's not wearing his hood. It's harder to get away with that when people can see his face. "I'm not a diplomat," he says plainly, and when Jaster pauses, startled, he turns away, crossing to the bed and unfolding the blankets. They're a little musty, a little thinner than he would like, but if they're all piled together, they should serve well enough. "No," Jaster says after a moment, and he sounds thoughtful more than anything. "I can see that." When John pauses, wary of that being an insult, Jaster just snorts and waves a hand. "I'd rather be trapped for a week with a Jedi who looks like he was dug out of the wilderness than spend 2 hours with a stuffy bastard of a Coruscant Jedi, Master. You've nothing to worry about from me, at least until my men manage to track me down. John doesn't say that it's far more likely that Faye will find them first. She doesn't have to wait until the magnetic storm is over to track them. There's no need to alarm Jaster, though, so all he offers is, "We should share the bed. It will keep you from freezing." Jaster's eyes narrow faintly, and he looks from John to the bed and back again. "Share," he repeats, dubious. "I can't warm you up, and my ability to heal won't fix frostbite," John says plainly. "If you want to keep your fingers, it's the best option." There's a moment of silence as Jaster considers this, wary and assessing as he watches John. "And you don't have to worry about hypothermia," he asks after a moment, raising a brow. John shakes his head. "Not as much. I'm not fully human." That, at least, gets him a huff, tired but amused. "Who is, at this point?" Jaster asks philosophically. "But Tong blood is far less useful for this sort of climate, I'll admit." He pauses again, then says, faintly suspicious, "I would have expected a monk to be far more hesitant about getting into bed with another man." John can't help but snort. "We're not celibate, and most Jedi grow up communally." He didn't, but he's encountered enough other Jedi on missions that the casual closeness, the lack of personal space, the ease with other bodies, has more or less rubbed off. Even with all of his scars, even with his tendency to keep his cloak on and his hood up whenever possible, other Jedi adjust easily, and it helps. The idea of sharing that sort of closeness with a near enemy is less comforting, but John has the sense to recognize that they're both in this situation together. The odds of just one of them surviving alone are far slimmer than their odds of making it through this together. Jaster is a tactician. He can undoubtedly see that too. There's a moment of silence, and then Jaster sighs, running a hand through his hair again. "Of all the times to be without my books," he says ruefully, "if we're going to be cooped up in here with nothing to do, I may end up driving you mad, I hope you're aware. I don't take boredom well." For a man like Jaster Mareel, John can imagine that idleness is entirely unfamiliar. He snorts, but pulls the blankets back and says, "I'll distract you, for both our sakes." "You think you can bear talking that much?" Jaster asks, raising a brow. "I was under the impression you might strain something if forced to string more than 3 sentences together at once." John doesn't flush, and he doesn't roll his eyes, though it's a near thing. "Do you want the wall side or the door side?" "Door," Jaster says without hesitation, and grimaces as he undoes his flight suit, stripping it off and draping it next to John's robe. 12 hells, it's cold!" "If you can still feel that, it's a good sign," John says bluntly, and slides into the bed, sliding over as much as possible. He and Jaster are both big men, and the bed isn't overly large. There isn't going to be a lot of personal space. Better for warmth, but... Jaster slides in on the other side, and he's shivering already, breath clouding in the cold air. His fingers fumble as he tries to pull the blankets back up, and without comment, John gets them, then catches Jaster's fingers and wraps his own around them under the covers, curling in close. There's a sound of desperate relief, of need that makes John's skin prickle, and Jaster presses close, all but wraps himself around John as he pulls the blankets up over their heads. It makes John jolt, the sudden closeness, the hungry press of skin, but he catches his breath, lets himself be wedged against the wall with the Mandalore pressed up against every inch of him, and swallows as he steadies. "It's all right," he says, quiet, and Jaster makes a low, rueful, tired sound. "It will be, all but for the embarrassment," he allows, all self-directed amusement. "You make an excellent heater, Master Jedi." "John," he says softly, "I think we're close enough that you can call me by my name." "Physically, I believe we're closer than my last 3 one-offs," Jaster says, with humor light and warm in his voice. "Maybe 4, if you take your socks off." John makes a sound of muffled laughter before he can help himself and... It's a ridiculous thing, but the wind is howling outside, and the snow is piling up, and Jaster is all warm muscle and humor and focus, his heartbeat a tangible thing against John's chest. It's far from the worst way to survive a blizzard. The end.